The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to the Squawker Podcast. My name is Nick English. I will be hosting proceedings today. I'm joined by Dave O'Brien, Squawker Data Analyst. Hello Dave.
Hi Nick.
Also joining me is TJ Johnson, Squawker Data Analyst number two.
Hello Nicholas.
I don't mean that as in, you know, your second best today, Dave. I just meant your second in the order as I look clockwise around this room. Also joining us is Peter Sharland, a Ligue 1 expert and staff writer. Hello, Pete.
Afternoon, Nick.
Afternoon. Let's talk a bit about the Champions League. Hot topics this week covers the Champions League. There's a lot to cover. Let's start with Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Dave, you've been looking at Real Madrid quite sensational of late, aren't they?
Yeah, they've been brilliant of late. They did start the campaign quite poorly. They won the first game, then they lost two on the bounce, and the season really kicked off against Deportivo La Coruña. They won that game 8-2, and in their last six games in La Liga, they've conceded only one goal. That goal, obviously, Neymar against Real Madrid in El Clasico. I think what Ancelotti's done brilliantly this year is he's brought the balance again. Maybe in the first three games they didn't really have that, but then the 4-4-2 Christmas tree formation sort of coming back, and Isco has been brilliant, and the players all seem to know what's going on now. Angel Di Maria did knit it together last season. It seems like Ancelotti again has solved the problem of how to fit all these brilliant players into one team.
Does it? I mean, one of the big concerns of selling Di Maria and bringing in James Rodriguez is that Real Madrid were totally going to lose their balance. Cruz is there instead of Xavi Alonso. He's, you know, maybe not the toughest tackler. How has Ancelotti, you know, exactly managed to do this? Has he tweaked the formation enormously, or what's come about?
It's been interesting. In La Liga, they've sort of gone with James, Bale and Ronaldo and Benzema at time to time, but obviously in the Champions League they need to be a little bit more defensively minded, and with the injury to Bale against Real Madrid, it sort of gave Ancelotti an easy option in a way. So, you know, throw James in there, get Isco on the left. Isco's been absolutely brilliant, won five tackles against Liverpool in the first leg, only Lallana won more take-ons than any other players. Just been absolutely awesome, Isco. I think he really has knit it together.
So, are Real Madrid actually playing better without Bale? Because Isco's, you know, maybe a less direct player. He looks more inside more. Do they look more balanced without Gareth Bale in the side?
Yeah, I'd say they do look more compact, but I don't think it is the Bale factor. It is the one of James and Bale. I don't think you can play both of them in a bigger game. When Gareth Bale comes back, I think he's back from injury now. He's going to be on the bench this evening. I think he's been absolutely awesome since joining Real Madrid, you know, assisting Ronaldo for fun, scoring goals. So I think he'll be the man that will be chosen over James in the future bigger games, in my opinion.
Is there not a temptation for Real Madrid, and this is an open question, is there not a temptation for Real Madrid? They kind of steamrolled Liverpool at Anfield. Is there not a temptation to just go, okay, we've got a game at the weekend, we've got two fairly easy fixtures, one of them is against Ludogorets. You know, should we just take it easy and, you know, rest a couple of players and try and grind out a win?
I think the exact opposite will happen.
Yeah,
I think they'll absolutely go for it. If you think about it, Ronaldo needs two goals to break Raul's record as a former United player. He'd love to do that against Liverpool. Obviously, last time Liverpool went to the Bernabeu, they did win. I think Madrid will be absolutely going for it tonight.
So, from Liverpool's point of view, I mean, how do they go about counteracting this, Pete?
I think if they want to go then really get a result, they need to make changes. But it doesn't, from what Rodgers is saying, it doesn't sound like he's going to make the right changes. It sounds like Ricky Lambert's going to start. And whilst I think it's correct to drop Mario Balotelli, I don't think Lambert's the one to be given a go. I think it should be Birini instead. I know Birini's played for Liverpool this season. He hasn't looked necessarily world class, but he's looked good, and he actually works a lot harder than either Lambert or Balotelli do.
Liverpool have always looked better, at least when I've been watching them. I know this is me conveying opinion. Probably shouldn't do that, but whenever they've looked good, it's always been they've had two strikers up front.
Yeah.
So with Lambert and Birini together, I mean, as you know, strange as that sounds, to start up front.
I think away at the Bernabeu, you can't afford to have passengers. Balotelli is a passenger; he can't play. Lambert, he'll work hard for you, but it's just his fitness at his age. I'm just not sure they can afford to have him up front. I would play Birini through the middle with Sterling and either Lallana or Coutinho like on the, not really on the wings, but just letting with him up front.
Whoever,
just to try and get some pace into the team.
Whoever plays it, it looks there's definitely a personnel gap between the two sides, but Man United went to, you know, the Airlines Arena last season and put in a very good performance against a against an even stronger Bayern side on paper.
I'd argue that the United team was stronger.
True.
Also, I just feel like Ronaldo had too much firepower for Liverpool. I just can't. Rodgers is talking about playing Colo Touré at the back. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo versus Colo Touré is just a match made from hell, isn't it, for Liverpool fans?
That's terrifying. It could be fun.
It could be fun for people who don't support Liverpool, like all of us, but for Liverpool fans, it's going to be bad watching.
A game for football purists is happening on Wednesday.
He's actually won six
Ajax
tackles
versus Barcelona.
La Liga,
TJ, you've been looking at Ajax and
one
specifically their
so
shape and how they're
like,
they've gone back to their roots in a certain sense.
Ajax have been playing this 4-3-3 in the Eredivisie this season, and I think they should play that tonight against Barcelona. Although the wingers should be slightly more defensive, double up on Neymar and Suarez on the wings. The likes of Schürrle and El Ghazi need to be helping out their fullbacks, and also the defensive central midfielder Riederwalk will need to be really, really tight on Messi, giving him no space.
It's going to be a difficult ask for Ajax. No matter what happens, Barcelona they're sort of figuring out how to integrate three of the best forwards in the world into their front line, and so far it's sort of working. Not really working, Pete. What's your assessment of?
I don't think you can say it's working. Yeah, I mean, part of it is down to Luis Suarez not being at full match fitness yet. Obviously, when he's up to full sharpness, he'll look better with Lionel Messi and Neymar. I would consider, if I were Luis Enrique, which I'm not, I would consider perhaps changing the formation. Obviously, the 4-3-3 is ingrained into Barcelona's system. It's what the kids are taught at La Masia. But I would just wonder if it's the best way to get the best out of Luis Suarez. Playing him on the right. Obviously, he can roam wide, and that's great for him, but he's really devastating when he plays through the middle. I would like to see Barcelona play Suarez as a central striker and then drop Messi and play Messi sort of in the hole and kind of give both of them a sort of free role, as it were. And then with Neymar, you can either let him come more centrally or you can stick him on the left and maybe play Pedro on the right.
This is one of the criticisms that's often levelled at Barcelona's system, which is ingrained in the kids from La Masia, is that when you bring in an external world-class talent, they're not used to such a rigid system at times.
I think the thing with Neymar is that he had time to adjust because he's only 21, like he's got plenty of time. Suarez has a style of playing and it's very particular to him. Obviously, I think that can work in Barcelona. I would just wonder whether now is the time for Barcelona to sort of focus less on ball retention and actually more on direct attacking play. If you look at the way Madrid are using direct attackers like Gareth Bale and Ronaldo to destroy teams, I was just wondering if that's what Barcelona need to look at. I know they probably won't, but it's just something that could help them tactically.
That's what they did with under Tata. You know, Barcelona scored a lot of goals on the counter attack this season. At one point, most in Europe. That's not their style. They're not going to move away from playing possession football to direct football. I think what they need to do is they need to have these players, Neymar, Messi and Suarez, they need two of them to play wide and they need to be on the touchline. The best thing that happened to Barcelona under Guardiola was their wingers, and their wingers that stayed wide. They're like Sevilla doing a job, playing wide, stretching the play, Pedro on the other wing. They gave Messi all this space.
Well, I think that's just totally limiting Neymar and Suarez. I think
that's the problem with those two signings.
I agree with you. I think someone like Pedro was perfect for Messi in the way that he would just selfishly sacrifice him for the team. And that was when Messi's goal tally was at its highest. But I think if they're kind of trying to watch Messi evolve into more of a playmaker, look at the assists he's created this year, then maybe they need to start looking at putting a proper goal scorer up front in either Neymar or Suarez.
Messi's one of the most deadliest strikers in the penalty area. I think that
he's not getting the area as much as he did last season.
Yeah, because that's the system that they're playing at the moment. It looks more like a 4-4-2 diamond than a 4-3-3 at the moment. It's to do with width, and that was why they struggled against Real Madrid, because they didn't have width out of the pitch. And that's what Enrique needs to correct.
You're not going
to
get that from Suarez or Neymar, because they both love to drift inside.
While Barcelona obviously have a problem integrating all these world-class talents up front, Ajax are at home, TJ, and they're going to want to win the game. They're going to want to put on a show.
They are. They won the fixture last year.
Exactly. So how are they? Who's the danger man? Who's going to get the goals? This Barcelona defence has been extremely stingy this season. How are they going to get the goals? Who's the men we've got to watch out for on Ajax's side?
Well, the left winger Schürrle has got 6 goals in 9 games in the Eredivisie this year. He's also created 19 chances. So he's their form man at the moment. He scored 2 goals at the weekend in a 4-0 win. They just need to get the ball to him. He's the one that scored all the goals for them.
Interesting. Let's move on to a rather different tie, one which was a rather one-sided affair last time around. It's Bayern versus Roma. Dave, how do Roma avoid what happened last time?
It's difficult. They lost against Napoli this weekend, actually. Napoli, probably one of the most form sides in Serie A this season. Higuain just hitting form. Didn't score in his first eight games, and now he's scored five goals in three games. So obviously, Napoli play completely different to Bayern. They hit Roma on the break. They basically did a Roma to Roma. But I think that, obviously, in that game, it was ridiculous. Bayern Munich were absolutely outstanding. If you look at some stats, Jovinho completed the most passes in the final four for Roma. He completed five passes. David Alaba played centre-back for Bayern Munich. He completed 17 passes. So you're just looking at, you know, the difference in styles there. Roma really need to sort of stamp their authority on the game, I think. Jovinho is going to be a key man on the counter-attack. Pranić as well needs to step up. He's completed the most passes in Serie A, but against Bayern, he wasn't there at all.
Interesting. TJ, what do you think of one observation many people have made from Bayern's new formation, or at least the one that Guardiola premiered against Roma, was that Robben was much deeper than we've seen him in previous years. I mean, tactically, what are Bayern going to try and do? Are they just going to play the same team again and be like, this is us, come and get it? Or what are they going to try and do?
I think they should. I mean, they've been playing this back three for the last couple of games, and it's been working really well. But the versatility of David Alaba, obviously he's played centre mid, he was a left back, now he's playing in the back three, which has really, really helped him out. I think that's what they should do. And also, you say Robin's dropping deeper, but actually he made the most passes in the final third during that game, which is 33. And he also created six chances, got two goals and got an assist. So him dropping off is actually really, really helping Bayern out.
Very interesting. Let's have a quick talk about Arsenal, City and Chelsea. They're all playing probably the weakest team in their respective groups at home as well, except for Chelsea, who have a trip to Slovenia. Who's most likely to slip up here? City are playing CSKA, Arsenal playing Anderlecht, against who they performed a rather incredible smash and grab in Belgium a couple of weeks ago. Who's most likely to slip up? Who do we think?
Man City, I reckon.
Yeah.
Obviously, their form of late isn't great. They weren't great in the derby, they won the game. Probably deserve it. Chris Small obviously helping them on their way, but I just think that the City fans haven't really got the Champions League yet. They're doing this campaign at the moment that you go down to Man City this Wednesday night, getting buy one get one free. You buy one ticket, you get one free, which is crazy. The Champions League is the one where you're supposed to be going to. Mm. You're supposed to be turning out. You know, you're supporting your lads. They're doing well in Europe. Maybe that's filtering through to the players.
Buy one get one free. Do you want to go?
No.
All right.
The City fans seem to be loving going to the Etihad when they're rolling teams over 4-5-0. But when it actually gets tough in Europe, when they come against really well-organised teams, they just don't seem to fancy it. And as Dave said, maybe that's been reflected in the way the players play.
Interesting. There's a possibility, again, of a Flamini-Arteta central midfield at the Emirates against Anderlecht. Potential issue there, Tej?
I don't think so. I think you just look at the way they played against Burnley at the weekend. So strong against the weaker sides at home. I think that's 3-0 or 4-0 that game.
Okay. 3-0 or 4-0, comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to something a little bit more interesting, a little bit less hot topic-y. It's time for Tweets of the Week. So Dave, TJ and Pete have been scouring Twitter, we all love Twitter, looking for some tweets which they can share with us, entertaining, funny, etc., informative. I am going to go to Pete first. What is your Tweet of the Week, Pete?
My Tweet of the Week comes from Daniel Story, Football365, Sky Sports writer, etc. He was tweeting after the derby, saying about United, so this hard luck chap sense surrounding United is so alien, such a big club. They're not West Brom, 3 wins in 11 games is incredible. And I think you make quite a good point, because United, they haven't been poor by results, even under Moyes, but there just doesn't seem to be an all-out criticism. I know there was last year, but this season, because it's Van Gaal, because he's come in, people seem to be reluctant to overly criticise. United is always building a project, players need time to adapt. And I think Story makes a good point that if they were any other club in like the top six, they'd be absolutely slated for their form. And like 3 wins in 11 games, not acceptable for a club like Manchester United. And Story tweeted later, sort of multi-tweet, but they're linked. So bear with me here. That it doesn't matter how well you're playing, 3 points away at teams currently 3rd, 11th, 17th, and 18th, and 20th is awful. And it is a good point. United's away form has been terrible. I just don't think that it's getting enough coverage in comparison to, say, as you mentioned, Liverpool, who are getting absolutely slated.
Has Van Gaal's reputation brought him that time, though?
I think it's a combination of Van Gaal the fact that United was so poor last season under Moyes that people are now used to it, and the fact that people are looking at the new, he brought in a lot of new players, so he deserves time, but Rodgers brought in as many new players, and for some reason Rodgers' signings aren't getting that time.
Dave, you're a United fan, famously belligerent. You guys aren't really good at being the underdog, are you?
I think that we were good at being the underdog last season. We had the best away record in the Premier League, so that's saying something, but our home record was poor. This season our home record's good and our away record's poor. Just one of those things. You've got to get it right. You've got to find a system that works away from home, find a system that works at home. That's
do you
the
think
thing.
Van Gaal's getting an easy ride, though? Do you think he's...
Does he not deserve a little bit of an easy ride from his credentials? Does he not deserve a bit of time to get his system playing? You know, we're playing a completely different style of football.
He said just
after
3 months, and look where you are after 3 months.
Yeah, but
and
we've had so many injuries.
His statement because he realised what an idiotic mistake it was.
Well, was it a bad statement? United have looked better in the last few weeks.
Still not good enough. I admit that.
Why is it not good enough? What are you comparing it to?
Because they should be challenging the likes of Arsenal.
They should. Are they not challenging the likes of Arsenal? Are they not close to Arsenal on the table?
Not close enough.
Really. Are you expecting this Man United to blow away and win the league first season of the league?
No,
because that's
league.
A you know overreaction. Mourinho didn't even do that. How much money did he spend?
You're 4 points behind.
Wait, 4 points is nothing this season, mate.
The way you're performing, it just looks like you're very beatable. Whereas with Arsenal, they are still beatable as well, but not in the same level. I just don't think United are at the same level as Arsenal.
Is there not a chance, Pete, that United, once they get things together, and a lot of this depends on injuries, especially at the back, that they're just going to go on a run and it's going to be very difficult to get by them once everything clicks?
No, because you'll still get chances against them. I still don't think, even when everyone is fully fit, that they're defensively good enough. I don't think they're well organised enough. I don't think their defenders are good enough, and I'm not sure that David Blind is good enough in the holding role to not prevent chances being created. If you compare Blind to someone like Matic, it's not comparable.
Different players. Matic plays in a single pivot. Blind plays in a single pivot. Matic plays in a double pivot. That's the problem at the moment. Fair enough that they're structurally.
No, if you watch them at the moment.
Blind needs a little bit more cover. But you just got to, like Nick said, you wait for these players to come back and we'll just see, yeah? We'll just see it explode.
We will see. TJ, tweet of the week. What have you got for us?
Well, it comes from AFC Bebs 80. Got quite a few retweets. Very observational. From the Aston Villa website. So his tweet is, Aston Villa had to cancel their October Goal of the Month competition due to the fact that they didn't score a goal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
It's one of those observations which makes the world go round. In fact, I think it was September, was it, Dave? The Man United Goal of the Month competition didn't have a third place.
No third place. We didn't fancy it that time. We just topped two goals.
Which was strange for a team with Rooney, Van Persie, and Falcao.
You know what the lads are doing. Hopefully they got fined that month.
Without wanting to dredge up more Man United debate. Dave, tweet of the week.
So mine comes from Virgin Trains.
Right.
Hi Chris Smalling, looking to get out of Manchester. We've got tickets to London Euston for £12.50. One way, of course, hashtag MUFC. Obviously, Virgin Trains playing on Chris Smalling's terrible display in the derby.
Awful. I actually made this point. I'm going to go back into opinion mode here rather than presenting mode. I made the point at home and on Twitter that Marcos Rojo's tackle, which got him injured, was arguably stupider than both of Smalling's together. Because if Marcos Rojo makes contact, he's going off, and United are down to 9 men when they were dominating the game.
And Rojo was lucky enough to give away a penalty on Yaha Touré.
Should it not have been a red card anyway? With the intent of it was a horrible, horrible tackle. And I would say it should have been a straight red without making the contact.
Would you argue that Rojo's reaction may put Oliver off sending? Also, Oliver, at the time, he wanted to let play continue because City were in a very good position.
I mean, obviously it was a lunge, but essentially it was sidestepped quite comfortably.
Yeah.
I think it was Kolarov, was it?
No, it was Demichelis.
Yeah, it was. Demichelis had made a pretty strong tackle. Rojo went for him to send out a message that I thought that was an awful decision on Rojo's behalf. Arguably far worse than. So maybe Virgin Strange should be
paying for both of them to leave.
Paying for both of them. Is there a 2-for-1 saver?
Mate, there probably is. Go and contact Man City. You might be able to do a 2-for-1 deal.
Fair enough. Other train providers are available online. Okay, tweets of the week. So we're going to have to vote for a winner, obviously. And the winner this week gets a barbecue hula hoop.
Just one.
Oh yes, just one. Not a pack. No, come on.
Less and less by the week.
There's been there's been serious budget cuts, Pete. I'm very sorry about this. Okay, TJ, come to you first. What was your tweet of the week?
Virgin Trains, but that's very funny.
Virgin Trains.
Yes.
This one. Pete?
I thought we'd go for the Villa Goal of the Month tweet. I thought it was very funny.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, Villa Goal of the Month, brilliant tweet.
Villa Goal of the Month has it. TJ wins a hula hoop.
Yeah. Favourite flavour as well.
The what?
My favourite flavour.
Your favourite flavour? Mm. How many flavours of hula hoop are there?
Lots.
Four or five?
Yeah, you've had prawn cocktail hula hoops?
I've not, no.
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing?
They might not even do them anymore, that good.
Where did you get those from?
Back in the day, mate.
All crisp debate aside, I'm more of a skips man. We're going to go for stat of the week this week. So, thanks to the data that's provided by our data suppliers, Opta, the guys have been researching stats all week. It's a competition. Another barbecue hula hoop is on the line. Pete looks very excited about the potential.
It was nice.
Hula hoop. Was it nice?
Yeah, it was lovely.
TJ looked like he really enjoyed it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to Dave first. Data analyst, Squawker Dave, what's your stat of the week even?
Since joining Sassuolo on loan, Domenico Berardi has scored 19 goals in Serie A, 6 more than any other player under 21 in Europe's top 5 leagues. So this is to join in with the golden boy debate that's going on at the moment, that everyone is banging on about Raheem Sterling should win this award. Raheem Sterling has been pretty brilliant of late, but Berardi, he plays for Sassuolo. He's not supported by the likes of Luis Suarez last season, and he's just been absolutely brilliant in the last 2 years. I think he does deserve to win the Golden Boy Award, I'd say, this season. The shortlist isn't the greatest, but I think he should be the one that wins it.
I would argue that outside this league, he's not really even rated that highly. People talk about him, but I think he still somewhat goes under the radar.
Is that to do with the general perception, at least in the UK at least, of Serie A?
Yeah, I think it probably is, actually. I think people just don't really view it as a competitive league, as the Bundesliga or La Liga, whereas in reality, in terms of just sheer competitiveness between teams, it's arguably one of the most competitive leagues.
Interesting. TJ, stat of the week.
Yeah, going back to the Bundesliga and to my favourite player in the world of football, Xabi Alonso. Quite a simple one, but one that, yeah, very staggering. He's completed the most passes in the Bundesliga with 909 passes. And he also completes 119 passes per 90 minutes so far this season.
119 per 90 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah, it's outrageous. And he's missed a game, and he has completed 235 more passes than anyone in the Bundesliga.
I can't get my head around the 119 per 90. Mm. I play football. TJ and I actually play football together.
Yeah.
We play 11-a-side. I'm lucky to complete a pass every 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you play the same position.
And I play the same position, just very badly.
It's worth pointing out, we were looking at this the other day, Damien Delaney of Crystal Palace is averaging less than a pass every 10 minutes in a Premier League season. And he's a centre.
Crikey. That's more than a pass a minute, Xabi Alonso.
I know. Delaney's averaging considerably less.
Astonishing. Pete Charlotte, stat of the week. Is it from Ligue 1?
You may be surprised to learn.
Oh!
My stat is from Ligue
1. Oh, he's done it again. There's so many stats in Ligue 1. I can't cope with it anymore.
So my stat is about Lyon's Alexandre Lacazette, one of the form players in Europe right now. He's got 10 goals, second to Ronaldo. He is the only player across Europe's top 5 leagues to have scored 3 goals from outside the penalty area this season. So he's the highest across Europe's top 5 leagues.
Interesting. I didn't realise he had a...
Yeah, got his third on Saturday against Nice.
Good players.
It was a good goal as well.
Very
nice. Finish. Little dribbled it in between 4 defenders who were all trying to close him down. And then
that was his first goal. His second goal was from further outside the box.
Oh yes, I've seen that one as
right
well. Very nice. Those are the 3 best stats of the week we've ever had, chaps. But unfortunately, we need to have a winner. Dave, you're going to vote first. Who are you voting for?
I'm going to go with Lacazette.
Lacazette.
Yeah, it's been very good this season. Obviously, in Liga. Mm. Carrying Leon's side, so yeah, Lacazette.
Okay, Lacazette. TJ, what's your stat of the week?
Yeah, I've got a lot of good pingers, so Lacazette.
Okay, fair enough. Pete, you're already the winner, but who would you vote for?
I was going to vote for Berardi, as I think he goes under the radar a little bit, so nice to see Dave giving some love.
Okay, well, it's a very nice nomination, but you're still the winner. You get a barbecue hula hoop.
There you go. Thank you very much.
They reek. They reek of barbecue, or whatever hula hoop put on there. Other crisp providers are available. And we thought, since it was Luis Figo's birthday, it'd be good to have a look at, you know, basically, what is the best five-a-side you can make from players who have played with Luis Figo, or other players that Luis Figo has played with during his illustrious career? Obviously, everyone knows the teams he's played with, 95 to 99 Barcelona, 2000 to 2005 Real Madrid, and then onwards into Milan, and obviously the golden Portuguese generation. But I've got a list of some of the best players that he's played with. I'll just read this out because this is unbelievable. Cristiano Ronaldo, Ronaldo, Zidane, Beckham, Roberto Carlos, Casillas, Rivaldo, Ibrahimovic, Makalele, Samuel, Veron, Hagi, Zanetti, Vieira, Laurent Blanc, Stoichkov, Xavi, Luis Enrique, Puyol, Ricardo Carvalho, Pep Guardiola, Fernando Hierro, Michel Salgado, and Lucio are just some of the names that you guys can choose from. Obviously, we're going for the same rules again. We've got a goalkeeper, a defender, and three out of two midfielders, and or two strikers and one midfielder, and vice versa. Let's start the debate by looking in goal, because that might be a little bit simpler. Who are we thinking as a goalie?
It's Casillas, really, isn't it?
Not, not Toldo? No looks for Toldo?
Just not in comparison to Casillas is the problem. Toldo's a very good goalkeeper, but...
Victor Baia?
Probably not.
Okay, Casillas is a simple one. I'll give you that. Defence. You got one defender. Who are we picking? Is Dave going to go again with his whole Spanish theory?
Potentially.
Given that most of these players played
in Spain,
from Madrid or Barcelona or Inter, most of them probably will speak Spanish, either natively or just haven't picked it up.
Looking at the list of defenders, at least that I've got, yes, they definitely, most of them do speak Spanish.
I'm going to go with Roberto Carlos. That left foot.
Long range. But yeah. What if you're only out to shoot inside the yellow penalty area?
Ooh. And then you're playing at the wrong place.
TJ, any thoughts?
Hadi
Zanetti,
sure.
Sure,
Hadi Zanetti for me, yeah. Just absolute workhorse. Workhorse man.
Zanetti?
Robbie Carlos.
Robbie Carlos?
Yeah.
I'm surprised Luis Enrique didn't get a shout. One of the most versatile players ever. He'd be fantastic at five-a-side,
sure. For this team, my mentality is ridiculously gung-ho.
Gung-ho.
So Carlos is in.
Okay, we're going gung-ho with this team.
Positional, there's no positionals really, we're just really going for it.
Right, everyone's nodding at me when I'm saying gung-ho. Okay, midfield, what are we thinking? There's some studious names, there's some creative names.
Cristiano Ronaldo and Zinedine Zidane.
Cristiano Ronaldo is not a midfielder.
He started his career as one. I'm putting him in.
He's not a midfielder. CJ?
Zidane. It has to be Zidane. And I'm probably going to go with Rivaldo. Keep that creative.
So he can have Rivaldo, coach. But I can't have Cristiano.
I was about to say, Rivaldo's not a midfielder. You can't have Rivaldo.
Can't play in midfield.
Well, you can have him as one of two forwards.
Right. That's what I'm doing with Ronaldo.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Redondo.
Fernando Redondo.
Give you a little bit of balance.
Are you just basing this on the goals he scored against Manchester United in the Champions League?
Pretty much. One of the best goals you've ever seen. But no, he was a good player in his prime, I think.
Surely Guardiola over Redondo?
No, I'd say Redondo over Guardiola. Guardiola was brilliant.
I don't know what to say about that. Redondo was one of the most preposterous things that's been said on this podcast. Redondo over Guardiola. Yeah, you're missing out Xavi?
Zidane. Zidane, though. Zidane.
Maybe also, if we really want to nitpick, was Xavi at his peak when Figo was at Barcelona?
It's true. We can nitpick. That's what this whole segment is for.
Makalele.
In five-a-side? What are you?
He could clean.
Clean
what?
Clean the ball, wouldn't he?
He'd just end up sitting at the back while Roberto Carlos watches on.
Which would probably work.
To be fair.
Give our side a little bit of balance.
This team is all about, if you score five, we'll score 10.
Fair, Makalele would bring serious tactical acumen to that side. He'd cover runs that the other players haven't even seen yet. Okay. So we're going with Zidane in midfield. I'm guessing everyone wants to name two strikers rather than two midfielders. Up front, Pete, you can go first.
Ronaldo and Ronaldo, simple as.
Ronaldo.
Arguably the best striker of his generation and then arguably the best striker of the now generation.
Okay.
So
TJ?
No more need be said.
I'm going to go for Rivaldo and Ibrahimovic.
That's what I was wrong.
My word!
Yeah.
I'm surprised. So, two players which have found success in 11-a-side format because they have supreme technique but also a lot of physical power, which would be counteracted mostly in 5-a-side.
I just think they'd boss people around.
They certainly would boss people around, but...
I would not want to play defence against them in 5-a-side.
That's a very good point.
But imagine Cristiano Ronaldo and Ronaldo running at you. No sight in world football is more terrifying than that. nothing.
That is true, but I just think Zlatan would be unreal at five-a-side.
Zlatan would be very good at five-a-side.
And just Ronaldo. Well,
Cristiano would.
Yeah. Dave?
Can we put Figo in his own five-a-side team?
Well, I was going to say no, I'm surprised that you want to go for Figo.
Yeah, I think Figo and Ronaldo, Cristiano, would give us some good width up top.
Width?
Yeah, a little bit of width, you know, spread the five-a-side pitch as much as you can. Get the likes of Zidane and our other midfielder breaking through.
You've got Roberto Carlos for width, surely.
But that's only one side, so I don't know. But then obviously Ibrahimovic would be good.
So what would it be?
I'll probably go with Ibro and Cristiano.
Ibro and Cristiano. Only one vote for Ronaldo, Ronaldo. Staggering.
Get injured, wouldn't it? Halfway through the game, he'd have to go off.
No, he would not.
It's a very difficult decision. I mean, the physical supremacy of Ibrahimovic, obviously. Entertaining. I need final decision. We've got Cristiano Ronaldo has voted.
I refuse to budge.
You refuse to budge on Ronaldo.
He was such a good striker. I just can't believe he wouldn't include him.
Zlatan's better though.
No. I love Zlatan.
You're saying Zlatan
plays in Liga?
He does play in Liga.
What about Robinho? I reckon he'd be mint at five-a-side. Futsal background, got the skills.
Did
different option.
Did Robinho play with Figo though?
I think they.
Yeah, they did.
Did they cross over?
I think they might have done. Hang on, I'll check.
I mean, to be honest, Robinho's not really up for consideration.
But five aside though, you could see it would be his game.
I'd rather have Stoichkov than Robinho.
Yeah, fair enough.
They did not play. I think Figo left the same season that Robinho joined in that summer.
So they might have had a training session.
They might have had one training session together. in which Figo thought, I'm too old for this game.
But what a training session. Okay. So what are we saying up front?
Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo and...
I think the Zlatan gets the vote.
Zlatan, yeah.
Zlatan. See, I'm going to vote as well here, because I'm not happy with this. I'm voting for the real Ronaldo and Cristiano Ronaldo, which means it's a dead heat, which means, once again, we're going to have to flip a coin. So, let's go for tail for Ibrahimovic, because he has a ponytail.
Oh,
and heads for Ronaldo.
Because he has a shiny head.
Because he has a shiny head. Thank you. I'm glad Pete's here to finish my not very good jokes. Right. It's heads for the real Ronaldo. Pete is delighted.
Justice has been done.
To run over the team again, we've got Iker Casillas in goal, Roberto Carlos in defence, Zidane in midfield, and Ronaldo up front. It's a pretty good side.
It's not bad.
TJ and Dave look gutted.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
Zlatan on the bench, though.
Where's Robinho?
Zlatan on the bench would come on, do some damage. Well, brilliant. Thanks very much for joining us on the Squawker podcast. We'll be back a little bit later in the week to talk all things Premier League and Ligue 1. There's Le Classique this weekend. Pete's looking forward to it. Until then, thanks very much and bye-bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.